Welcome. We trust you will be encouraged by this message from Mahesh and Bonnie Chavda, presented by Chavda Ministries International. Real love, real people, real power.
We welcome each one of you to the watch of the Lord. We are grateful that there are watchmen all across who are loving Him. But this is something that God wants us to do, as Jesus Himself said, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Tell your neighbor, watch and pray. So this is especially as the end approaches. It says when it's like the end times, and you may be seated, and then we can go into dancing and praising in a moment. But there is always a spinal column to what we do, and it's the Word of God. The Word of God gives. And then we can put flesh on it. But the Word is our guidance. It's this skeletal structure. And so we have a foundation of the Word. Always the foundation is the Word of God. That's important for us to always be able to enjoy the supernatural, enjoy flowing and welcoming the Holy Spirit. But we have the backing and the foundation of Scripture. So that is good leadership. It is good. Everything is done with the security that we have the foundation of the Scriptures. So we are watching and praying. That's important to the Lord. Now, I want us to put ourselves always in context. Even though we are a community that's a heavenly community in a sense, we are relating to the Lord. I believe even tonight, as we worship, as we sing, as we made music, as we blew the shofar, there are angels here tonight joining us to give praise to the living God. And then there is activity to do warfare against the powers of darkness. Okay, so that's the reason it's important that for example, in Nehemiah, that Nehemiah is very, very timely for us. And you find that this is, we put ourselves in context that last year we made note, it was a notable thing. We are connected to Israel. And as a believing church, as God's people, the church of Jesus Christ and the restored people of Israel. And after tremendous pain, hurt, all of that, the Holocaust, the Lord brought back the Israelites, the Jewish people back. 1948.
After 2,000 years
of being scattered.
His promise endured. Because He said, I will regather you and settle you in your land, and no one will throw you out.
And centuries.
In our lifetime, yeah. This amazing promise of Scripture fulfilled.
Yeah. Nehemiah. Prophecy fulfilled.
Amen.
And it was 2,000 years. They would say often, for hundreds of years, they would turn to each other and say, next year in Jerusalem. Next year. And then that was fulfilled in 1948. And it was the winning influence, the big influence to make it happen was at that time, the most powerful nation on earth was, we had just finished the Second World War. America, the United States of America, was the global power, the power. And everyone else had to recognize that. And President Harry Truman said, we will vote yes for the restored Israel. They were voting in the United Nations. Can Israel be restored? And can we officially recognize that as a nation? And the United States stood for the restoration of Israel. That was a major point of blessing. I will bless those who bless thee, God said to Abraham. And he said, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love thee. Say prosper.
Prosper.
How many of you want to prosper?
Yeah.
How many of you want your children to prosper and your grandchildren to prosper? Amen? And we want them to prosper even more than us.
Yeah.
That's the genuine desire. So the key is that we be God's people. And when Bonnie and I, we have, and some others who have gone with us to Israel, it is a delight to be able to come to the Western Wall and pray and know that they could not do that for nearly 2,000 years. And yet, 1967, there was the Six-Day War. And then in 72, 73, there was the Yom Kippur War. And all of these, they had to survive, but God protected them. But it was not until 70 years later, after 1948, last year, 70 years, after the founding of Israel, that Jerusalem was so recognized that the United States moved its embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And we who were able to go there this year were able to be there physically and bless that building. And it was so wonderful. And there was a blessing. That's me.
That's well, you.
That's
yes, that's you.
Amazing.
At the embassy in Jerusalem.
They put notes in Jerusalem that a very good-looking man had come to the embassy. But there is the plaque, and that's delightful. You guys are quick. And Nehemiah is interesting because it's one of the books of restoration. Psalm 126, when the Lord brought back the captive ones of Zion, we were like those who dream. Our mouths were filled with laughter and our tongue with joyful singing. We will say among the people, the Lord has done great things for us. And we are glad. So the Lord, say the Lord,
has done
great things for us. And we are glad. The Lord is doing
great things for us.
Even today.
And we are glad.
So as we worship, we want to do it with the spirit of gladness and celebration that God has done. And as it was in the times of Nehemiah and Ezra, that Cyrus, the king, God made him. He was an alien. He was not Jewish. And the Lord allowed him to be the one who declares, all you captive ones of Israel that we were brought as enslaved, you go home. You are free.
Yeah.
Build back Jerusalem. Yeah. And that was an amazing thing. He's honored. And as Cyrus, his name was honored, it is right now in Israel, you'll find that the Israelis really honor the president, President Trump of the United States. And they've even named streets and places in Jerusalem. So we are in a very wonderful prophetic hour. But at that time, we need to also do enjoy the blessing, but you find in Nehemiah that it says that it says in chapter 4, so I set armed men behind the wall in places where it was least protected. I even thus used the people as families with their swords, spears, and bows. With their what? Swords?
Swords.
Say that.
And bows.
I looked them over and rose up and said to the nobles and officials and the other people, do not be afraid of the enemy. Earnestly remember the Lord, and imprint him on your mind. So that is something happening. As we worship him, look at the Lord. Imprint him on your minds. Great and terrible, great and awesome. And take from him. So we take, first of all, from him.
Amen.
Courage to fight for your brethren, to fight for your sons, to fight for your daughters, to fight for your wives, to fight for your homes. When our enemies heard that their plot was known to us and that God had frustrated their purpose, we all returned to the wall, everyone to his work. So wherever we are placed, we strengthened that place. And from that time forth, half of my servants worked at the task and the other half held the spears, shields, bows, and coats of mail. And the leaders stood behind all the house of Judah. Those who built the wall, those who bore burdens, loaded themselves so that everyone worked with one hand held and held a weapon with the other. See, this is amazing. It's such a thing of a call to be alert. Some have to build. Some have to plant. Do things, but some have to take weapons in their hands and be on guard. So the dark, evil powers cannot take over once again. So that we have to be conscious in every generation. Be on guard. And this is, in a spiritual sense, then, it is instructions, divine instructions of strategy for battle for God's people. So we are the church, we are the believing army of God, and God has told us, given us instructions. Now, look around us at our, put ourselves in context. That is the general truth, that is the overall, God is awesome. Say, God is awesome.
God is awesome.
Jesus is the King of glory. Say, okay, Jesus is the King of glory.
Jesus is the King of glory.
In Philippians, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. He is Lord. He has got the name about. But that name has to be enforced. And if you looked at any Western, John Wayne had the authority. Anyway, Oakland Eastwood.
Make my day.
Yeah. Make my day. In every generation, we have to have, we establish law and order. It's law and order in the heavenlies. And you and I, Jesus has given us jobs. We are, by our identity, we know our purpose. We are kings and priests before our God, before our God. And we have authority, therefore. Say authority.
Authority.
Kings have authority. So that's, and the priests have the ability to offer sacrifices. So the Lord, in this hour then, just look around us, just eagle's eye view of what's happening right now. We have, just a few days ago, the U.S. Delta Forces went and took out the most horrible terrorists. One of the most horrible, horrible, horrible. And we prayed the last few years. If you remember the watch boxes, we would bind ISIS and we would say, Lord, pull them down. And thank God that information came to us to where to find them. They went in secret and took care of him. He's the U.S. Delta Force. So we, and the demonic forces could not protect that evil terrorist. And he was gotten. Remember, it was the U.S. Armed Forces who did it. So we bless the armed forces. We pray for them. And we thank the Lord for the police that keep the law here and enforce so that evil people cannot have control. MS-13 gangs. Then look at the picture here. This last week, there's a poor family that was traveling into Mexico from U.S. And they were shot by the cartel members. There are, I mean, someone look up how many people died in Mexico. I mean, there was, it's like more than 100,000 civilian deaths in a war that's going on, cartel war, all of that. And some of these cartels are bringing in tons and tons of illegal drugs. And last year, more than 70,000 Americans died of these overdoses from this drug. So this is the actions of, for us, then detect and discern spiritual forces of darkness that are behind these things. Behind the drug addiction is a spirit. We bind the spirits of darkness through our prayers, our praise, our worship. So we don't look at these things happening and get discouraged. John Wayne never got discouraged. Nor did Clint Eastwood. I'm depressed. No, you are enforcers. And with our praise, our worship, our warfare, we do this. And go ahead.
Just this year, CNN, you may have seen it, did a documentary revisiting an event that took place here in Charlotte in 2000. And that was the headline. It said, "How Soon We Forget." This was in the Charlotte Observer. I don't see the whole shot there, but the headline from the Charlotte Observer was, "How Soon We Forget, CNN to Revisit Historic Bust of Terror Cell in Charlotte." And, of course, this article goes on, but CNN did a documentary of, in short, here's what happened. In 2000, following a painstakingly meticulous investigation, federal authorities brought down a cell of Lebanese terrorist organization Hezbollah that was operating out of a single-family home in a quiet neighborhood near Albemarle Road Park in East Charlotte. The cell was accused of smuggling millions of dollars worth of cigarettes from North Carolina, where the tax was only 5 cents a pack, to Michigan, which had a 75-cent state tax, and sending the proceeds from illegal sales to Lebanon to help finance Hezbollah military operations. And then the remark is, once it blew up, it was just all over the front pages. You know, back then, it was all print media, and it was a shock to the city, so on and so forth. And Katie Jacks, Katie, you can wave your hand. What it means to be a watchman. And I'll never forget, Ron, were you and Jill in the watch that night over on Granite Street? Our Ed Seal was there. Michael, where's Michael? Michael, were you there? So we were in our location over on Granite Street, and this was still in the days when we did the watch from 10 o'clock at night until 6 o'clock in the morning. And typically, just like those scriptures where Jesus would come walking on the water at 3 or 4, you know, in the fourth watch of the night, invariably he would show up from time to time. It takes patient perseverance, recognizing yourself as a legitimate priest and king of the Lord that gathers regularly, convenes regularly as heaven's legislative body on earth. And right now, heaven has a camera, just like you can turn on C-SPAN and see the Senate or the House and what's going on in the floor and who's actually present and what's actually being legislated and presented. Well, that's what the watch is. That's what the church is actually anointed to do. But in this particular case, Katie Jacks had a dream of this dark figure that was trying to break into our city. And we would always try to be real positive about the things we said in public in the watch and stuff. And so we'd kind of sit on anything that was like ominous or whatever and kind of wait until all the general public kind of left the room. And then when it was us, you know, kind of Holy Ghost fanatics that would go after anything, well, we would circle back around. Well, this particular night, Katie had told us about this dream and the watch, you know, went on. And that picture of what she said just had some anointing on it. It kept dogging us. And so along about, it was probably 2 or 3 in the morning, we took that thing on corporately in our public prayers and stuff. And literally, as we prayed together, we got specific intel from the Lord that it was a Hezbollah cell, that they were doing illegal interstate trafficking and sending the money to support military operations in Lebanon. We got, our prayers were that there would be a multiple department, federal and local, Operation Sting, and that the not only the trafficking, but all of the perpetrators would be apprehended, exposed, apprehended.
This was before the story came out.
Hang on, yeah. This is on Friday night, right? We're in the watch, and this is what's happening on Friday night. And there was a new guy that had not, you know, been around the watch or at our church much, and he was in the watch that night. And I'll never forget, he was standing off to the end of the platform, and I just said, "Now we're just going after Hezbollah, and we're calling in the FBI and ICE, and you know, Garabashandelebaka, and the interstate trafficking." And this guy is kind of standing over there, just with this look of absolute, we didn't know what on his face, just white as a sheet. And it was so, I mean, he was so radically out of or other than or something than, you know, we were, and so finally I just kind of walked over and I said, "Are you okay?" And he said, yeah. Like, go on, not go away, but just keep doing what you're doing. Turns out that guy was working for immigration and ICE. We didn't know it at the time. He was connected to FBI. Yeah. And this operation, completely classified, was going to go down on Monday. And here we are on Friday night. Gorbachev, Hezbollah, and FBI, and, you know, and so sure enough, on Monday morning, when the news broke that they had, you know, successfully pulled off this operation. Of course, you know, all of us, we were like, yeah, come on. That was, believe it or not, that was not our first quote-unquote rodeo with terrorist bombs and stuff. A few years before, the same thing. We started getting words of knowledge, and a couple of people had had dreams related to school children and suburbs of Paris and terrorist bombing. I mean, people weren't talking about terrorist bombs back then. In the late 90s, and all the way up until, you know, 9/11. So we had been around the block on a thing that we got and prayed through a very specific prayer about Jewish school children in the suburbs of Paris, France, and a terror cell, a car bomb from a terrorist cell planning on blowing up these kids in this school. And golly, Associated Press, following Friday night, on Monday morning, ran an article, an international article, and I'll never forget, it wasn't on page one, but it's like on page two, and the headline across it says, "Rabbi says it's a miracle." And the article exactly described what we had no idea in the natural, exactly described what we had heard and seen and prayed together in the watch. And what had happened is this: the terrorists had timed their bomb explosion to go off when the school clock went off and all the kids were out in the schoolyard with their parents, and the bomb was supposed to, you know, kill all of those families. And the article said this: "Rabbi says, for the first time in 70 years, the hand of the clock stuck at 3 minutes before the time it was supposed to go off." And so the bomb went off. The schoolyard was still empty. Nobody was there because the school bell hadn't rung yet. And the bomb goes off, and then, you know, a few minutes later, the school bell. So the school and all of the children were saved. So,
amen.
It's my testimony on, you know, Watchmen.
Exactly.
Anyway, so we celebrated in Charlotte the anniversary this year. I mean, CNN celebrated it for us. Hallelujah.
So, as watch, you know, watch with me. By the way, before I forget, I wanted to. Is Dr. Vitaly Fishberg. Are you here? Wave your hand.
There he is. Yeah.
We want to greet you. Welcome. He's a pastor from Russia.
Yes.
Yes?
Yes. Yes. Here. Armin.
Thank you so much. It's a special pleasure for me to be here. I'm Pastor Vitaly Fishberg. I'm Director of Association of Russian-Speaking Pastors for New York City. And I'm first time here. Actually, for Russian churches, Dr. Mahesh Chavda, he's one of the most famous author, you know. So actually, I studied reading his books, you know, of course, Dr. Derek Prince, but I want to say that Russian churches, spiritual churches, we love Dr. Mahesh, and it's my special pleasure and privilege finally to be here in this great church. Yes, and we are praying for revival among Russian-speaking Jews. Actually, after Israel, the second largest population of Jews, it's in Brooklyn, New York. So when you pray for Israel, please pray for us. You know, we have about 2 million of Russian-speaking people in New York City. 65 to 70% of them, it's Russian-speaking Jews from different areas of former Soviet Union. And we desperately need a revival. We are praying for holy fire to come upon our churches. And we also praying maybe in one day, Lord will touch heart of Dr. Mahesh and Pastor Bunny. We can go and bring holy fire for us. Thank you again.
Welcome. Thank you.
Some of our guys, I would like for Dr. Fishberg to be able to look at the bookstore. He can pick what he wants. Yeah. We would like to sow into your life and ministry, but we'll give you some of our books and material, whatever you want. And we would like your address, and we'll give you our address. And we would be. This is connected with the Jews, Jewish Russians, but they are in New York City.
Russians.
Russian-speaking. Yeah, good. Well, we would love to connect with you, and then if we can come, we will come and visit you and do some meetings together for you.
You've heard it.
All right? We were very
That's a way to get a commitment on the World Wide Web.
Bonnie and I were very much connected in the 80s with the refuseniks, with the Jewish people who were captured, you know, held captive in Russia by Gorbachev and all the others. But we were able to help collect millions of dollars for the immigration to help finance the immigration of Russian Jews from Russia and the Eastern European nations to Israel. So our heart is for the Russian Jews so much, and we are so proud of the blessing they are already in Israel. So God bless you and your work. And before you leave, if we are able to, and if your time schedule permits, we'll have some of our intercessors lay hands on you and bless you. All right? Amen. So we were talking about how the Lord gives supernatural guidance as you watch and pray. But the watchman always has a position. Because of his job, God will give him more insight because he is supposed to be aware if there are bandits or terrorists or someone coming. He is to be the first. God will allow him to be on the tallest building because of his job as a watchman, or the farthest out. So whenever the bad guys come, he is able to see what's happening and then warn them, blow the shofar or whatever, say, watch out, guard, because the bad people are trying to come. In the same way, spiritually, that's part of our job. And many churches have forgotten part of their job description, that it is important that we watch and pray. And so spiritually, God will give us the information as we are intercessors and commit to worship and praise Him. So part of our job, pull down strongholds. Like, for example, right now, one of the strongholds that is, it's a demonic, mighty principality, let's say, of addiction. That there, can you believe that there are 70,000 Americans who died by overdoses and all that because of this plague? It's a plague.
Yeah.
And we have prayed for many people and have seen deliverances. And I remember one time in Baltimore, many, many years ago, I prayed for more than 12 prostitutes that, it's a long story, but they had marks on their arms and legs of their needle marks over the years. They had taken so much heroin. And then as we prayed, come Holy Spirit, deliver these precious souls, that the Lord instantly took those marks away and baptized them in the Holy Spirit, and they started speaking in tongues. So there is power of deliverance as we speak and we bind the powers of darkness. As we watch and pray, then God gives us the anointing to pull down strongholds. So these are strong, whether it was Hezbollah or whether it was the power of that bomb, we were able to bind that thing so it couldn't do it. So I have a couple of scriptures I want to point out to you. It says the Lord, in Joel chapter 1, he talks about the desolation. When you see the devastation of families whose sons or daughters had overdosed, I've had to comfort some of those. And you realize the heartbreak. And it's because of demonic powers of addiction that have tried to destroy so much. And anyway, here you see the verse 8 in Joel chapter 1. Lament like a virgin girded with sackcloth for the husband of her youth. The meat offering, the drink offering is cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests, the Lord's ministers mourn. The field is wasted, the land mourns, for the corn is wasted, the new wine is dried up, the oil languishes. It means all this, some of these negative things. Be ashamed, O husbandmen. How, O you vine dressers, for the wheat and for the barley, because the harvest of the field is perished. The vine is dried up and the fig tree languishes. The vine, by the way, is the believing church, it's symbolic. And the fig tree is Israel.
Yeah.
The pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree. Gird yourselves. Lament, you priests. Howl, you ministers of the altar. Come, lie all night in sackcloth, you ministers of my God, for the meat offering, the drink offering is withholden from the house of your God. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God and cry unto the Lord. So that's, the Lord giving us instruction. When you see some of this devastation, all that, this is what God is giving as a prescription. He said, come, gather together, fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the elders of the land, and come into my house and cry unto me so that I can send healing to your land. And then you find, therefore, the Lord is giving us a remedy here. Fast, pray, and then in Joel chapter 2, he gives the promise then. Then, he says in verse 12, therefore also now said the Lord, turn ye even unto me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. Who knoweth if he will return and repent? Leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering, drink offering unto the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. That's what we were blowing the shofar. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children. Let the priests, the minister of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare thy people, O Lord. Give not thine heritage to reproach. Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people? Yes, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I'll send you corn and wine and oil, but I will remove far from you the northern army. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Say, the Lord will do.
The Lord will do.
Great things.
Great things.
And then that's where he promises, I will restore to you the earth, the locust has eaten the cankerworm. And then it says, it shall come to pass afterward that I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. You see that in Acts chapter 2 also. But this is the promise then. As we watch, as we pray, as we lie all night, and then for at certain times here we declare a fast. It's for a reason, so that we have authority over the dark powers. And we also pray if there are oppression. We have seen so many deliverances of autistic children, and God is still delivering. We have seen miracles happen. But that's because that thing oppressing that child is able to be bound, the dark power. So there are things, as we watch and pray and fast, the Lord is giving us answers. So that is still part. What I'm saying is the Lord is doing great things. Say, the Lord is doing great things.
The Lord is doing great things.
And that's our confession. That's our profession. Yeah. It's scripture.
Yeah.
The Lord is doing great Hallelujah. Things. He's doing great things for our children. Amen. He's doing great things for our grandchildren.
Amen.
At the same time, be aware that in our public school systems, there are some of the most horrible instructions going down that are telling our children till the age of 7, 8, they're making them doubt whether they were really born a girl or a boy. And I mean, they just all kinds of the most weirdest things.
Yeah.
And so it's demonic propaganda and brainwashing of our children in the public school system. So I would blow a trumpet across every city in this nation saying, church, wake up. Don't let these evil powers kidnap our children and their values and brainwash them when they are still just 6, 7, 8, 9, and make them confused about their sexuality, make them confused about their nation, their country, all kinds of negative propaganda. And so we have to be aware, wide awake, and be as watchmen on the walls. So this is another is a pattern. I just want to let you know here in the book of Joel, it's one of the great promises of restoration. I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. We saw that in the book of Acts. But in every generation, we need to pray, Lord, fill our generation. Fill our children with from shore to shore. Bonnie and I had I had experience with some amazing revival, especially more than 40 years ago, the charismatic outpouring of the Holy Spirit was coast to coast. It did not matter what denomination you were. The Lord would zap those churches, whether they were Baptist, they were Church of Christ, they were Methodist, they were Lutheran. So we are Lutheran. We don't speak in tongues. We are, Methodist, all that. And then, poof, the Lord would just pour out his spirit. And it was so much fun to see. Then the Catholics were some of the leaders in that move of God. So it there was no boundary. So you can, if you do it, God did it then, he can do it again.
Amen.
And so we are asking, Lord, do it again, Lord.
Do it again.
Do it again, Lord.
Do
it again. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Do it again.
Amen.
Amen. Proverbs 10 says that the son who sleeps in harvest is ashamed to his father. But a wise one is the one who is gathering. And everything that we're seeing in the public square and the cultural trends these days indicate to us what Jesus said. Lift up your eyes and look around. The harvest is white, and the Lord is looking for laborers to send into the harvest. So say, it's harvest time. Look at your neighbor and say, take courage. Take courage. Remember Nehemiah? One of the things that really stands out to me tonight about that scripture in Nehemiah is that the leaders, and it says there that the leaders rallied behind the men of Judah. And I think that's one of our prayers tonight, one of our calls to the Lord and our prophetic judgments, if you will, declarations over our nation, that our leaders, our elected leaders, our church leaders, our educational leaders, our arts leaders, our technology leaders, will turn and come behind the Church of Jesus Christ and begin to support righteousness and be participants in what God wants to do of rebuilding and restoring the foundations.
That's Nehemiah 4:14 onwards. I looked them over, rose up, and said to the nobles, officials, and the other people, remember, you are priests and kings.
Right.
And do not be afraid of the enemy. Say, I'm not afraid.
I'm not afraid.
Earnestly remember the Lord, amen, our God. Imprint him on your minds. Great.
Imprint.
And
imprint.
Terrible.
Imprint.
And take
imprint
from him. Take from the Lord. Take from him courage to fight for your brothers, your sons, fight for your daughters, fight for your wives, fight for your homes. So that's why we are in battle, in praise and worship. We come to the household of God and say, Lord, don't let these addictions and this fentanyl and all these evil drugs take hold of our children. We command those demonic addictions to go, amen, from every city, go from Charlotte, go from Fort Mill, and Lord, have mercy across the land, and we will do battles. Therefore, what is, you know, it says, take up your sword, do this, but that's spiritual battle. In our generation, we are just saying, we have the power. Say, I have the power.
I have the power.
That you can say, in the name of Jesus, be bound. I remember years ago, I prayed deliverance for a man who was so, he was active in the Vietnam War. This was during the late 70s. And he had been, he just had horrible things experienced. So he was tormented by these demons. And he would beat people up, his family, all, and this oppressed. And so I took authority. You spirit of violence and murder, get out of him. And that spirit rose up and went, ah, and he had his karate chop and all that, and he was about to destroy my brain. He just coming right at me. And he came within about 6 feet, and boom, his body was thrown the other way. And I didn't know, but there was an angel protecting me. And when he came within a certain distance, boom, I was thrown. I said, whoa. So know that you have authority. Say, I have authority.
I have authority.
So don't ever be afraid of this dark thing. But God then commissions you to take his name and the power of his name into battle. So against all these things. But the main power we have is worship and praise and thanksgiving. And you just energize that and release angels. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
The spinal column of the watch is a twofold thing. When we started the watch, the Lord gave Pastor Mahesh a vision of big feet. And he had this vision with him for like 3 days. And he was, you know, trying to figure out if this was a word of knowledge for healing for somebody or what it was. And in those days, we were in the watch. This was way back when we were in the barn again, the horse barn that we converted and started the watch there. And during the watch, it was like the clouds parted and there were nail prints in the feet. And Mahesh realized these are the feet of Jesus. And at that moment, the Lord spoke to him out of the book of Ruth, where she goes down to the threshing floor. It's harvest time, and she goes down on the instruction of Naomi, who is a type of the Holy Spirit, and tells Ruth to wash and dress herself. And she goes down and she lays, it says, she lay at his feet, at the feet of Boaz, all night. And Naomi told her, go and lay at his feet all night, and he will tell you what to do. And that was our commission for the watch, that we were just supposed to gather and worship the Lord and wait on him and love on him and be there together with one another, and he would give us instruction. And out of that atmosphere is when we got the things about like the Paris school and the Hezbollah cell and many, many other things. And when we started it, we said, okay, it's Friday night, and we're spending all night with Jesus. This is a date night with Jesus. So we had a conference back in those days, and Armin and Cindy happened to be up from Florida visiting in that conference, and we used to do the all-night watch during our conferences. If you can imagine, you would do Thursday night conference meeting. You would do morning, afternoon, evening, Friday conference meetings, and then all-night watch on Friday night with, you know, drag all of the people who came to the conference the whole way. And so here we are. We're doing the watch, and the worship leader was picking out this little tune that had no, you know, just sort of playing in the spirit on the keyboard, had no lyrics to it. Dun, 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 da, dun, da, dun, da, dun. Dun, 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 da, dun, da, dun, da, dun.
You want to spend the night.
Dun, 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 this guy.
I just want to spend the night with you. I just want to spend the night.
We didn't know who he was. And here comes this guy out of the audience walking up singing this lyric.
I just want to spend the night with you. I just want to spend the night with you. What was it?
You are my father.
I love you, Lord.
Right.
I love you with all of my heart.
So the watch had a love song. And so we would sing that song. And then we thought, you know what? We should make t-shirts. And we did. We wore t-shirts. We wore t-shirts. Not yet. That had written on the back, I just want to spend the night with you. Can you imagine standing in the grocery store line with your grocery cart and the guy behind you?
And, well, I think it was on up front, I want to spend the night with you.
No, I just want to spend the night with you was on the back. And on the front, if you turned around, it said, the watch of the Lord, Friday night, with our time and our location. But, yeah. Yeah, with the angel on it, the watch angel.
Amen.
So there are two sides to the watch. It is date night with Jesus, and that is the element that gives us that's the building part that gives us the warrior side, the, you know, bride in army boots, if you will. And at the center of that, additionally, as Pastor said, is the theme of pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And, you know, here he's saying fight for your houses, your brothers, your wives, your children, so on and so forth. In Joel, he's saying cry out for the house of the Lord. Well, here is a loving secret weapon, and that is David's prayer. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. He will bless those, they will prosper who love you. And he says, for the sake of my brethren and my house, for the house of the Lord, I will pray for the peace of Jerusalem. So when you pray for the peace of Jerusalem, you're actually doing warfare, doing battle for your own house and for your own church, for your own fellowship, for your own tribe, if you will. And we have found that blessing to be absolutely true.
Amen. That's awesome.
We hope you enjoyed this message. To order more great resources by Mahesh and Bonnie Chavda, visit us at chavdaministries.org. For a full catalog of our products, you can call us at 1-800-730-6264. God bless you.